searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your all.
Welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministries Interactive Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we will be reading the book of Ezekiel chapters 31 through 35. And following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you need the questions, go to rfcm.org and click on Bible Classes. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be opened for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. This means that your mic will remain open for the entire class. Please do us a huge favor by protecting our ears from background noises. A good way to do this is to simply keep your phone muted whenever you're not speaking and unmuting only when you want to speak. First, let's pray. Precious Lord, Giver of life, thank you for your presence as we look intently into your word. Thank you for your word and the privilege to have it to study it and a chance to write it on the tablets of our hearts. We ask that you give each one of us a revelation and a new understanding of you as we eat this spiritual meat and vegetables. We are all here to receive more and more of your kindness and peace. Thank you, Lord, that we are taking this opportunity to serve you. We ask that you bless each person that is attending now or will attend in the future, and bless us to have a class that pleases you. We thank you and ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will listen to Ezekiel chapters 31 through 35, and I will see you on the other side.
Ezekiel 31. In the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his hordes, who can be compared with you in majesty? Consider Assyria, once a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches overshadowing the forest. It towered on high, its top above the thick foliage. The waters nourished it. Deep springs made it grow tall. Their streams flowed all around its base and sent their channels to all the trees of the field. So it towered higher than all the trees of the field. Its boughs increased, and its branches grew long, spreading because of abundant waters. All the birds of the sky nested in its boughs. All the animals of the wild gave birth under its branches. All the great nations lived in its shade. It was majestic in beauty with its spreading boughs, for its roots went down to abundant waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not rival it, nor could the junipers equal its boughs, nor could the plane trees compare with its branches. No tree in the garden of God could match its beauty. I made it beautiful with abundant branches, the envy of all the trees of Eden in the garden of God. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because the great cedar towered over the thick foliage, and because it was proud of its height, I gave it into the hands of the ruler of the nations, for him to deal with according to its wickedness. I cast it aside, and the most ruthless of foreign nations cut it down and left it. Its boughs fell on the mountains and in all the valleys. Its branches lay broken in all the ravines of the land. All the nations of the earth came out from under its shade and left it. All the birds settled on the fallen tree, and all the wild animals lived among its branches. Therefore, no other trees by the waters are ever to tower proudly on high, lifting their tops above the thick foliage. No other trees so well watered are ever to reach such a height. They're all destined for death, for the earth below, among mortals who go down to the realm of the dead. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day it was brought down to the realm of the dead, I covered the deep springs with mourning for it. I held back its streams, and its abundant waters were restrained. Because of it, I clothed Lebanon with gloom, and all the trees of the field withered away. I made the nations tremble at the sound of its fall when I brought it down to the realm of the dead to be with those who go down to the pit. Then all the trees of Eden, the choicest and best of Lebanon, the well-watered trees, were consoled in the earth below. They too, like the great cedar, had gone down to the realm of the dead, to those killed by the sword, along with the armed men who lived in its shade among the nations. Which of the trees of Eden can be compared with you in splendor and majesty? Yet you too will be brought down with the trees of Eden to the earth below. You will lie among the uncircumcised with those killed by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his hordes, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 32. In the 12th year, in the 12th month, on the first day, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take up a lament concerning Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you are like a lion among the nations. You are like a monster in the seas, thrashing about in your streams, churning the water with your feet, and muddying the streams. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. With a great throng of people, I will cast my net over you, and they will haul you up in my net. I will throw you on the land and hurl you on the open field. I will let all the birds of the sky settle on you, and all the animals of the wild gorge themselves on you. I will spread your flesh on the mountains and fill the valleys with your remains. I will drench the land with your flowing blood all the way to the mountains, and the ravines will be filled with your flesh. When I snuff you out, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the heavens I will darken over you. I will bring darkness over your land, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will trouble the hearts of many peoples. When I bring about your destruction among the nations, among lands you have not known, I will cause many peoples to be appalled at you, and their kings will shudder with horror because of you, when I brandish my sword before them. On the day of your downfall, each of them will tremble every moment for his life. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. The sword of the king of Babylon will come against you. I will cause your hordes to fall by the swords of mighty men, the most ruthless of all nations. They will shatter the pride of Egypt, and all her hordes will be overthrown. I will destroy all her cattle from beside abundant waters, no longer to be stirred by the foot of man, or muddied by the hooves of cattle. Then I will let her waters settle and make her streams flow like oil, declares the Sovereign Lord. When I make Egypt desolate and strip the land of everything in it, when I strike down all who live there, then they will know that I am the Lord. This is the lament they will chant for her. The daughters of the nations will chant it. For Egypt and all her hordes they will chant it, declares the Sovereign Lord. In the 12th year, on the 15th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, wail for the hordes of Egypt and consign to the earth below both her and the daughters of mighty nations, along with those who go down to the pit. Say to them, are you more favored than others? Go down and be laid among the uncircumcised. They will fall among those killed by the sword. The sword is drawn. Let her be dragged off with all her hordes. From within the realm of the dead, the mighty leaders will say of Egypt and her allies, they have come down and they lie with the uncircumcised, with those killed by the sword. Assyria is there with her whole army. She is surrounded by the graves of all her slain, all who have fallen by the sword. Their graves are in the depths of the pit, and her army lies around her grave. All who had spread terror in the land of the living are slain, fallen by the sword. Elam is there with all her hordes around her grave. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword. All who had spread terror in the land of the living went down uncircumcised to the earth below. They bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. A bed is made for her among the slain, with all her hordes around her grave. All of them are uncircumcised, killed by the sword. Because their terror had spread in the land of the living, they bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. They are laid among the slain. Meshach and Tubal are there with all their hordes around their graves. All of them are uncircumcised, killed by the sword, because they spread their terror in the land of the living. But they do not lie with the fallen warriors of old, who went down to the realm of the dead with their weapons of war, their swords placed under their heads, and their shields resting on their bones, though these warriors also had terrorized the land of the living. You too, Pharaoh, will be broken and will lie among the uncircumcised, with those killed by the sword. Edom is there, her kings and all her princes, despite their power. They are laid with those killed by the sword. They lie with the uncircumcised, with those who go down to the pit. All the princes of the north and all the Sidonians are there. They went down with the slain in disgrace despite the terror caused by their power. They lie uncircumcised with those killed by the sword and bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. Pharaoh, he and all his army, will see them, and he will be consoled for all his hordes that were killed by the sword, declares the Sovereign Lord. Although I had him spread terror in the land of the living, Pharaoh and all his hordes will be laid among the uncircumcised, with those killed by the sword, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 33. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men, and make him their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head. Since they heard the sound of the trumpet but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to your people, if someone who is righteous disobeys, that person's former righteousness will count for nothing. And if someone who is wicked repents, that person's former wickedness will not bring condemnation. The righteous person who sins will not be allowed to live even though they were formerly righteous. If I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but then they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. They will die for the evil they have done. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right, if they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the sins that person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just. But it is their way that is not just. If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, they will die for it. And if a wicked person turns away from their wickedness and does what is just and right, they will live by doing so. Yet you Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. But I will judge each of you according to your own ways. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day, a man who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has fallen. Now the evening before the man arrived, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he opened my mouth before the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was opened, and I was no longer silent. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, the people living in those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one man, yet he possessed the land, but we are many. Surely the land has been given to us as our possession. Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Since you eat meat with the blood still in it, and look to your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Say this to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, those who are left in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those out in the country I will give to the wild animals to be devoured. And those in strongholds and caves will die of a plague. I will make the land a desolate waste, and her proud strength will come to an end. And the mountains of Israel will become desolate so that no one will cross them. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I have made the land a desolate waste because of all the detestable things they have done. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words. But they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. When all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts, so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forests in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the Sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 35. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, prophesy against it and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolate waste. I will turn your towns into ruins, and you will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you harbored an ancient hostility and delivered the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity, the time their punishment reached its climax. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will give you over to bloodshed, and it will pursue you. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a desolate waste and cut off from it all who come and go. I will fill your mountains with the slain. Those killed by the sword will fall on your hills and in your valleys and in all your ravines. I will make you desolate forever. Your towns will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you have said, these two nations and countries will be ours, and we will take possession of them, even though I, the Lord, was there. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will treat you in accordance with the anger and jealousy you showed in your hatred of them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard all the contemptible things you have said against the mountains of Israel. You said, they have been laid waste and have been given over to us to devour. You boasted against me and spoke against me without restraint, and I heard it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. While the whole earth rejoices, I will make you desolate because you rejoiced when the inheritance of Israel became desolate. That is how I will treat you. You will be desolate, Mount Seir, you and all of Edom. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
Okay. Hello to all who are in the live class and all who are listening. So happy to have you join us. I want to make sure to mention that I am also a student and still learning the word in a class you can never graduate. So let's get started with a quick review. Ezekiel, priest and a prophet. And he ministered during the darkest days of Judah's history, the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. He was also carried to Babylon before the final assault. Ezekiel uses prophecies, parables, and object lessons to report God's message to his exiled people. And a few weeks later, after this prophecy, Jerusalem fell. So let's get started with question number one, which is, which empire is the only one that is worthy of comparison to Egypt?
Okay. Good afternoon, good evening, however.
Good evening.
Hello, is that Deacon Eric and Mother Irma?
Yes.
Good answer, good answer.
Good morning. I mean, good evening. Eric, you got me all messed up. Good evening.
Oh, is she like that? Okay, awesome.
Well.
Okay, the answer, what you had, Eric? Or,
no, go ahead. I'm going to wait.
Okay, I think I had 31, 2 through 4.
Okay. All right, are there any other answers? That's what I was looking for. 31, 2, and 3. Would someone read 31, 2, and 3?
Okay. It reads as follows. Son of man, give this message to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all his hordes, to whom you compare your greatness, no, to whom would you compare your greatness? You are like mighty Assyria, which was once like a cedar of Lebanon, with beautiful branches that cast deep forest shade, and with its top high among the clouds. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, what is the reason why the Lord will hand Egypt over to the ruler of the nation?
Verses 11 and 12 is what I had.
Okay.
I started with 10 or 12. But then I had 10 first by itself. And I'm like, oh, they're going to probably want the whole thing. Yeah, I had 10 at first by itself.
Okay, that's what I was going for, but yeah, would someone read just verse 10?
Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Egypt became proud and arrogant, and because it set itself so high above the others, with its top reaching the clouds, I will hand it over to a mighty nation that will destroy it. As this wickedness deserves. I have already declared it. I'm sorry, I read, I think, 10 and 11.
Discarded it. Okay, but I could see reading 11 as well, though, too, Sister Rebecca, because it's the conclusion of the first part of statement, sentence. So I can kind of see 10 and 11, because the statement, the whole sentence is not completed until we end 11. Yes, no, maybe. I'll just stick with 10.
Oh, I'm over here saying I agree. It should be 10 and 11 on mute. Yes, you are right. That is the middle. It 10 lands in the middle of a sentence. So, yes, it's
right.
10 and 11. Okay, as a side note, the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonian kings all recount how they cut down the cedars of Lebanon in order to construct their mighty structures. So this punishment is fitting.
Okay.
Question number 3. Which verse illustrates the saying that misery loves company?
I have
chapter 31. I did 15 through 17.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone else?
I got 15 through 17 myself.
Hi,
Alma.
Hello,
hey,
Deacon
how you doing,
Alma,
Mother?
The
yes.
Father of our church.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. I like that. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. I didn't know that, but thank you.
I got that from Pastor O.
Okay.
But let's see.
I had
18. I was looking for 16, but let's read 15 and 16. Would somebody read?
What, verse 16?
This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When Assyria went down to the grave,
I made the deep springs mourn. I stopped its rivers and dried up its abundant water. I clothed Lebanon in black and caused the trees of the field to wilt. I made the nations shake with fear at the sound of its fall, for I sent it down to the grave with all the others who descend to the pit, and all other proud trees of Eden, the most beautiful and the best of Lebanon, the ones whose roots went deep into the water, took comfort to find it there with them in the depths of the earth.
Thank you.
Hold on 1 minute before we move on. I got to read that question again. That was number 3. Which verse illustrates the saying that misery loves company? Okay. All right. You can go ahead. I just wanted to see. I got lost on that one. I messed up. Okay.
Okay.
Madam Teacher.
Yeah. Deacon.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question. Assyria.
Okay.
Who is in the same class as Ezekiel's talking about that was powerful as Egypt, Assyria? Would that have something to do with David and Goliath? Or would it have something to do with Daniel? Or I'd like to know the country of Assyria. How powerful were they than Egypt?
Okay.
Wow. And I don't have an answer for you.
Well,
after all, would you like to insert?
Yeah, you kind of got to run back to the intertestamental period. You remember when Alexander the Great died, the Greek, right? Because the Greeks had, kind of beat out the Medo-Persians. And when they died, when Alexander died, since he had no kids, he divided up his kingdom to his 4 generals. The Ptolemies had Egypt, and Antiochus or Antiochus, whatever you want to call him, they were in the north in Syria. And so this is when Syria becomes, they battle back and forth for the land of Israel. Okay? But that's when they began to become a power. Okay, now you jump way forward to David. Well, and it comes back from David's time. They were there. In 722, Sennacherib, the king of Syria, came and took the 10 northern tribes into captivity. And so they were at that time becoming a major power. Okay, and that is why Jonah wanted the Ninevites, which was part of Assyria, to die because of their attacks and what they had done to Israel and probably some of his own family members. They were specialists in torture. And so Assyria had grown to be a power, but then when the Lord decided that he had Assyria had accomplished his purposes for them, well, then he brought in the Babylonians. And the Babylonians knocked the Assyrians off, and now they're on top. And then, of course, the Babylonians are going to be followed by the Medo-Persians, and, of course, the Greeks are going to follow them. So, yeah, they were that's who they were, and they came to a power, but they didn't become as big as Babylonia, an empire that, or like the Medo-Persians and the empire that they ruled. But they were a force to be reckoned with. They took out the 10 tribes and took them into captivity in 722. Remember when we were reading about the king Sennacherib, when the Lord sent him to take them away? And then the Babylonians came and got Judah and Benjamin and took them away.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. All right.
Thank you. Yes.
Welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I have a short takeaway for chapter 31, and it is God brought an army as his lumberjack against Assyria, and they cut down his greatness, and he would do the same to Egypt. Okay, question number, are there any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to question number 4, which is, what type of animal does the Lord compare to Pharaoh?
I have chapter 32, verse number 2.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you read that, please?
Yes, ma'am. Son of man, mourn for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and give him this message. You think of yourself as strong. You think of yourself as a strong young lion among the nations, but you are really just a sea monster heaving around in your own rivers, stirring up mud with your feet. Amen.
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 Would someone read the comment for that, for 32-2?
Footnote?
It's a footnote.
Yeah, the footnote.
I got you right here. Although Pharaoh thought of himself as a strong young lion, in God's eyes, he was nothing but a crocodile, parentheses, sea monster, muddying the waters. God's judgment would reduce Pharaoh to his true size. Anyone who defies God will face his judgment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Money in the water.
Question number. I'm sorry, what did you say, Deacon?
No, I was just thinking about the sea monster, a crocodile running on the bottom of the little river. And yeah, I could see it, money in the water. It stir up the dirt on the bottom of the bed of the water. Let's go. Question 5.
Question 5. Who were the other proud trees of Eden?
I did 31:16, something I've already read. Would that be the same answer?
Almost. Are there any other answers?
Question number 5.
Yeah, I don't know how I got what I have, but I have 12 and 13. Don't ask me why. But I do.
Okay, I was looking for 32, 16, and 17. So,
okay.
Mother Irma, maybe you just wrote 31, but you meant to write 32?
Hold on, wait a minute. 32, okay.
Now, you said 16.
Mm-hmm. It's still verse 16, but it's chapter 32. Would you read verses 16 and 17?
Of chapter 32?
Yes, please.
It says, yes, this is the funeral song. Is that where I'm supposed to be reading? They will sing for Egypt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let all the nations mourn. Let them mourn for Egypt and its hordes. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. On March 17, during the 12th year, another message came to me from the Lord. That's 16 and 17. Do you want me to read 18 with it? I don't see the answer there.
I don't see it either.
Yeah.
I had 5 and 8.
You had 5 and 8?
I had 5.
You're 32.
8.
Okay.
You're saying 32
and
5 through 8.
What's the question?
32, 5 through 8.
Oh, no, I had 31:5-8 for that one. This great tree towered high, higher than all the other trees around it, prospered and grew long thick branches because of all the waters in its roots. The bird nests in its branches and in its shade in the wild animals gave birth. And all the great nations of the world lived in the shadow. It was strong and beautiful with wide spreading branches and its roots was deep with abundance. No other cedar in the garden of God could rival it. No cypress had branches to equal it. No plains tree had bought to compare. No tree in the garden of God came close to its beauty. Now that's what I had. Were there any other proud trees of Eden? When they said the Garden of God, I took that as far as the Garden of Eden.
I don't know what was on my mind, but other proud trees were all the other nations in chapter 32. So Egypt was one, and then Assyria and Elam and Meshach and Tubal. So you will have to forgive the teacher for this question.
Okay, that's quite all right.
All right, let's move on.
I've done it many times. Don't feel bad. Many times.
31:16 has just about exactly the same words as in the question.
16.
Okay, let me see.
Well, I don't see it now.
Who were the
funeral song? Oh, you mean 31:16?
Right.
Ah.
Right, okay. I see it, Mother.
I see. Mother Irma knows what she's talking about.
All right.
For change.
Thank you for that correction, Mother Irma. That's why we need you.
Oh, bless your heart.
Okay.
I need you.
All right, so number five is 15:16.
And wait a minute, the question says what? Who were the other proud
trees? What were the other trees?
Yeah,
the other proud trees of Eden? All the other proud trees of Eden. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay.
Question number two.
Yeah. I had just that 1:16 verse. Okay.
I agree with Mother Irma.
Okay.
Thanks.
Number six, what will be the fate of Pharaoh and all his hordes?
I have verses 31 and 32.
I had 18 and 19 verse.
All right.
No.
I don't know why I had 33:4 and 5 unless I brought it down wrong.
Oh yeah, because we only go to 32.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what I've done. Let me see. What number are we on?
Number six.
And the question is, what will be the fate of Pharaoh and his hordes?
Oh, okay.
Now, what was the other one? Somebody gave an answer somewhere else. Is it 19 or something, I think?
I said
Mother
18
Irma
and
said
19.
18.
Oh, 18. Right.
18, 19. Son of man.
Because there's a footnote there, too. And it mentions same fate.
Agree. So would you please read verses 18 and 19?
And 19. Son of man, weep for the hordes of Egypt and for other mighty nations, for I will send them down to the world below in company with those who descend to the pit. Say to them, O Egypt, are you lovelier than the other nations? No. So go down to the pit and lie there among the outcasts.
Amen. Thank you so much. Will someone also read the footnote?
I can do the same. If it's, the Hebrews believed in all and afterlife for all people, good and bad. Ezekiel predicted that Egypt would share the same fate as that of the evil nations already sent to the pit. The words here are more poetic than doctrinal. And the note of, and then it gives a few scripture verses. The Egyptians had a preoccupation with the afterlife and built pyramids to ensure Pharaoh's comfort in the next life. God alone controls our future and life after death.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, now read 31 and 32, please, Ms. Johnson.
31 or 21?
31 and 32, just mine. I'm not trying to make myself right, but this is where I'll always be finished.
Okay, I agree. When Pharaoh and his entire army arrive, he will take comfort that he is not alone in having his hordes killed, says the Sovereign Lord. Although I have caused his terror to fall upon all the living, Pharaoh and his hordes will lie there among the outcasts who were slaughtered by the sword. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. So I agree with you, Deacon Eric. Very good.
Yep. Very good.
Okay,
I have a takeaway for chapter 32, and it's Pharaoh and his horde are no different from the other great nations that, despite their greatness, went down to the realm of the dead. Okay, question number 7. If a person hears the alarm of the watchman and does not take action, who is at fault if they die?
I got 4 through 6. Wait a minute.
We want to give it a complete thought.
Okay. You mean with a complete thought? Okay, go ahead. I'll be quiet. I'll wait.
Are there any other answers?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I only had 1 through 4, but go ahead.
I had 1 through 6.
Okay.
And I had 4 and 5.
Okay.
I was looking for 2 through 4, but I agree that complete thought is 1 through 6.
Yeah. Two through four.
Go ahead, Deacon Oliver.
You want me to do 1 through 6?
Please.
But of course, once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the army coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm but ignored it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm to warn the people, it is his responsibility for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
question number 8. If you decide to live a life indeed save you from being snuffed out?
I had 2 different answers. I had verse 13 and verse 18. I didn't know which one it was.
Yeah, I had 12 and 13 and 18.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was looking for verse 13, but let me 18.
Yeah, I had 13, and then I had 18 as well.
Yeah, so 12 talks about the righteous people behavior will not save them if they turn to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with 12 and 13. Will someone, would you read 12 and 13?
Okay. Son of man, give your people this message. The righteous behavior of righteous people will not save them if they turn to sin, nor will the wicked behavior of the wicked people destroy them if they repent and turn from their sins. When I tell righteous people that they will live, but then they sin, expecting their past righteousness to save them, then none of their righteous acts will be remembered. I will destroy them for their sins.
Amen.
Amen.
When I read that,
I thought about how they'll that repent. Where was it? Righteousness. Anyway, for some reason, I thought about that thing about Jonah and Nineveh. But go ahead, continue. I don't want to disturb your class.
No, I like your comments, Deacon Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, it was just that, hold on, I had to read the verse that he was saying. That was 13, I think it was, when I tell the righteous people that they will live. But they, oh, yeah, when Pastor O was telling us how Jonah just wanted to do it his own way instead of going where he's supposed to go, he just would jump on a ship to go somewhere totally different because he knows God would go, if they did better, he wasn't going to do nothing to them. And he wanted something to be done to them. But what I'm saying is, in essence to this is, when you turn around and do right, God got your back again. That's all I was saying in essence.
That's so true. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Okay. You're welcome.
So I wanted to insert Proverbs 13:9 in here. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Reverend Johnson.
Will someone read the footnote for that, 33:13?
Past good deeds will not save a person who decided to turn to a life of sin. Some people think that if they do enough good deeds, they can hold on to the sins they don't want to give up. But it's useless to try to be good in some areas so you can be deliberately bad in others. God wants wholehearted love and obedience.
Wow, 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 wow.
Amen.
Nicely said, Mother Irma. Nicely read. Nicely read.
There is more.
Verse 18. Verse 18 was saying, for again I say, when righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and turn to evil, they will die.
Turn away from their righteous behavior.
Thank you for that.
I'm well over two. I came up with 13 and 8.
You might as well go through to 20.
20 to 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree that it's your duty to not save you.
Okay, go on to 20.
No, okay. I think we did number 8 real good. I think we should move on to question number 9. In their hearts, were the people sincere when they sat and listened to Ezekiel's words, true or false?
What number is that?
Number 9.
Oh.
Okay, I had 31.
Okay, I was looking for verses 33 through 32.
Are we talking for number nine question?
Number
right,
nine.
In their heart, where the
where
people,
the people
sincere when they sat and listened.
31.
You just had 31? All right, I love
yeah.
that. Let's just go with 31. Now, will someone read verse 31?
What's the verse?
Chapter 33.
Verse 31.
So my people come pretending to...
Too many answers at the same time. What verse?
It's chapter 33, verse 31. It says, so my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, and their hearts seek only after money.
Watch out now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There's
a footnote for that one, too. Would someone like to read the footnote for 31?
I can read it.
33,
I can
31.
Read it for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, it reads as follows. In your heart, do you really love God? These people gave the appearance of following God, but they love their money more. Many today also give the outward impression of being religious while remaining inwardly greedy. Jesus warned that we cannot love God and money at the same time. It's easy to say, I surrender all when we don't have much. It's when we start accumulating wealth that it becomes difficult to avoid loving it. Is that a true statement, you think, everyone?
That makes sense. Every word you said makes sense.
Yes, indeed.
And that last part, when it's a little bit, you don't mind giving it up. You got $90, you can give up that nine. Get 90 million. And then you got to give a runner for Christ 9 million. I don't know. I'm getting tired of that 9 million. I know that's the people. I ain't got that problem. Let me get 90. I'd be glad to give you 9.
Yeah, because why, Deacon Eric? Because it's not gonna hurt.
Well, there's so much that it's not gonna hurt. It's because one thing, I don't say we require, but if you give it from the heart, you don't have no problem doing it. But then I want to do like Pastor O said. If I got that, here on your 90, you got here on your 9, you got something. Let me throw another one or two in there. Maybe that'll lift me up to the point where he can do something better with what I got left. Make it go a little further. I can do more for either for him or for people in the street. Anyway, what's going on? I'm going to be quiet. You see, I've been trying to be
Thank
quiet
you,
all
Deacon
night.
Eric. I have a takeaway for chapter 33. And there's a key moment there. Ezekiel receives a report that the Babylonian siege is over because the city has fallen. His words came true. Okay, question number 10. What were the sins of Israel's leaders?
Okay.
Was it 34?
Okay.
Agree. Would you please read that?
Son of man, prophecy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrows await you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with the harshness and cruelty.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right.
Chapter and verses, Keely.
Chapter 34, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Question number 11. Who are the enemies of the Lord?
I had chapter 34. I had verse 11. I think that's what I had. Is this
I had 10.
No, wait a minute.
Verse
10. 10. My bad. 10. Yes, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at number 11, but the number is 10. The question 11, but the number is 10. Yes.
Are there any other answers?
Okay.
I had 7 through 10.
Okay.
I was looking for 9 and 10. Would someone please read 9 and 10?
Okay. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away the right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Would someone like to read that footnote for 34, 9, and 10?
Oh, I thought Pastor was going to say something.
Those shepherds who failed their flock would be removed from office and held responsible for what happened to the people they were supposed to lead. Christian leaders must heed this warning and care for their flock, or total failure and judgment will be the result. This see 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24, 27. True leadership focuses on helping others, not just on getting ahead. Amen.
Amen. That is so true, and that is why it's so important for you to have a pastor. Because did you hear about the things that God said you have not done for the people? That means those are the things that a pastor can do for you. It doesn't, you remember how Jesus, he wasn't necessarily always where somebody was when they were sick, but what he would do is send a healing there. And so when one of the members of Runner for Christ Ministries gets sick and we're in a situation where I can't be there, I immediately ask the Lord to go there. And then I look to see if he's gone there. Did they recover? Did they get better? Are they recovering? Are they being restored? That's what I look for, and I keep praying for that because I know that the Lord will do it. He'll come to me and ask me, what do you think? And then he'll mention a name. And then I'll know that that person needs prayer, and then I'll pray for them. But I stick to the things that the Lord has enabled me to do. And that's why the Lord said, I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart, and they're going to do this, 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 and this. Those are the things they can do for you. And that's why I kind of pray for folks who say they don't need a church, they don't need a pastor. It's funny how you don't need a pastor till you decide to get married. You don't need a pastor until one of your family members die and you need somebody to do a eulogy. But other than that, you don't need a pastor. So you do, because God has enabled them. It doesn't matter who they are. If they're on their job, it's not about them. It's about him and what he'll do for them through them. For instance, without robbing you of your class, Rebecca, have mercy on me. Look at James and look what the Lord says over here. And he gives specific instructions, okay?
Say James.
Right, in the book of James, In chapter 5, around verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, not like the disciples. Remember when they came down the mountain, Janice was teaching us Saturday, when they came down the mountain, they couldn't cast that devil out, and they asked Jesus why we couldn't do it. Because the prayer that Jesus said, faith. This one comes out by faith and fasting. In other words, complete dedication to God. They had some ulterior motives going on that killed their faith. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And so there are things that a pastor can do. He or she just needs to know. But sometimes I used to hear my pastor get up in a pulpit and say it all the time. It didn't mean nothing to me then because I wasn't the pastor, so there you go. But he would get up and he would say, members, when you get sick, call me and tell me. When something's going on, call me and tell me. Members were under the impression that because he was the pastor and connected to the Lord, he knew. No, somebody had to come tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Now, we know Jesus was fully God and he knew, right? But then he wasn't operating as God. He was operating as Pastor Tate is teaching us, like us. So he couldn't say, I know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He and literally had to get from there to there. But they came and told Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman, she came and told Jesus, the Sidonian, she came and told Jesus that her daughter was sick. Jesus healed her. Didn't even go to their house. Jairus came and got Jesus or sent people to get Jesus. My daughter is sick and dying. Jesus went to their house, healed them up. Two, a centurion and one of the Herodian guards had servant and a son who was sick. They just went and told Jesus. They didn't think Jesus was, they were worthy for him to come to their house, but he sent healings. So, and if you pay attention to the Gospels, there are some things your pastor can do and that you can expect from them, and then you can't go beyond what God has blessed them or enabled them to do for the church. And that's why you really need to have a pastor, because God has, no matter who they are, I mean, if God can take a donkey and talk through it to a prophet, a little fake prophet anyway, Balaam, okay, he can take your pastor and do anything. If he can work with that donkey, he can work with your pastor.
Fake prophet.
Okay, you know, he can do anything through anybody he wants to. So, yeah, take advantage of that. Take advantage of it. Always make sure your pastor knows. Now, let's see, y'all
know
Brother Christ, you have my phone number, so you can call me, but it's not like that at every church. You cannot call the pastor. You know how you call these places and they put you through that phone thing where you press one and then press two and then press three, then you done messed it up, now you got to start all over it, or you go through it for an hour and then they hang up on you and you start over. So, sometimes that's why it talks about you got pastors who are only thinking about money and they believe that's the will of God for them to be rich and to be fabulous. And they will buy a mansion when there's people in their churches getting kicked out their house. I remember riding down the street one day and seeing a person had been set out. And they had been a member of a very prominent church for years. And they didn't do anything to help them. Not a thing. But they helped whatever the pastor want, the pastor get. And see, that kind of stuff tripped me out. That's why I thought Running for Christ, you know, it would never be like that. It would be reverse of that. It wouldn't be about the pastor. It'll be about the sheep, because I feel like if Sheila and I do our best to see after the members, then the Lord will see after us. That's the way I see it. I don't see like I got to get what I need from the members. If I give what I got to the members, I'll get what I need from God. But they don't see it like that. They really don't. Like the one pastor said, if God want me to come to your church, then God will give you the money it takes to afford me and my entourage coming there.
Oh.
Yes. And then
wow.
This is a big bishop. That's a big bishop. Literally said that straight out of his mouth. If God want me to come to your church, then he going to give you the money to afford me and the security and entourage to travel with me. Other than that, he don't want me to come there. And he believes that with all his heart, that that's the will of God for him to act like that. But as you can see from this, from when it talks about these pastors and what they're guilty of not doing, the Lord got a whole different standard than that. Okay, it is the pastor who pours himself out like Jesus. Okay, that's not get the people to pour themselves out or have the sheep trying to find you some place to get some water or some grass or protect you from the wolf or the bear or the lion and the bear. David didn't see the lion and bear coming and told the sheep, okay, it's more y'all than me. Take the lion out. No, he did it for them. But I'm telling you, these pastors got this thing completely backwards, and in there, when you talk to them in their heart of hearts, they believe that God wants them to be fabulous. They really believe it. They really believe it. And no scriptures in the Bible to support it, but they somehow it's in their head. One time I was told, I quoted the word of God and how things are supposed to work in the church concerning deacons and who they serve. I was told that is not what was voted on in the church installation service. It was said that they serve the pastor, not the people. And I was like, well, that is not what the scriptures say. And I was told, be quiet.
Oh.
But I won't be quiet, though, so. So anyway, that's all I got on that.
Well, thank you, Pastor. That was
awesome.
You're
welcome. When you're picking churches, be careful. Get to know as much about that pastor as you can. They all have a past, and if they're a novice, skip that church and go to one where they have some years behind them. And they have a past. Look at it. Talk to the members. Let them tell you about the pastor. My wife and I, I'm going to close with this one. We just wanted to go visit other churches. We weren't trying to find another one or nothing. We just wanted to go visit. So we go visit this other church in the community, and we had an awesome service. It was wonderful until we got to the end. And I guess we were just praising and being too happy. And somebody came up to us and said, I just want y'all to know that it ain't what you think it is. It's not like what you think it is. This is not some place you want to be. And I'm like,
wow.
Yes, a member told us that. That was unbelievable. So we just went back to
the
churches.
Yeah. I ain't never heard that before.
I'm telling you, I have experienced some things. Sheila and I are always together, right? So we have experienced some stuff you wouldn't even believe. She ain't going to say nothing, but I will.
Well,
okay.
As a member of Runner for Christ Ministries, I would like to say you might enjoy our church because the pastor is funny, the services are short, and you can come as you are. So
that's
I will
why
say
I
that
go.
Before.
To the point, the word is not sugarcoated.
And you get the word, the true word.
Right, right. It's not watered down or sugarcoated. That's the biggest attribute of it all. The word is exactly what it is, the word itself. Well, that's the biggest attribute to me.
Yes, we love our church. Okay, question number 12. The Lord will not tolerate the strong sheep abusing the weaker sheep. True or false?
I had true, and I had verses 20 through 24 in the same chapter of 34.
Those are for Deacon Eric. Would you please read verses 20 through 24?
I will do that for you. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For your fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. So I will rescue my flock, and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I have a bonus question. Who is the good shepherd?
David.
I didn't hear you.
Is it David?
Oh, you said David.
Mm-hmm. No. And that will set them over one by my servant David.
That's very close. That's very, very close. Any other answers for who is the good shepherd?
Jesus.
Who said that?
Okay.
All right. Well, whoever said Jesus, that was correct answer.
Okay, I'll take the credit for that. You know, I had something in my throat, though. Yeah, when I saw that question when I was getting ready to send them out again, I saw that question, and the Lord said, well, who is the good shepherd? I figured, you know, well, I can't say you because that would be too easy. So I started thinking, like, seriously, I said, well, you're the good shepherd. He said, really? But, yeah, that's who he is, the good shepherd. And when you look at the way it's worded, the way it's written, you know, and you know David is no longer alive, so he's definitely not going to be the one. But we do know that Nathan said that tell David that God would not take the kingdom from him like he did from Saul, but somebody from his own family would sit on the throne and establish it forever. And so that would have to be Jesus. So I'm going to guess Jesus.
Absolutely correct. And Jesus is the seed of David, right? So David is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that answer,
that's why they
I said that. Sorry.
That's why they use that word descended so much, or the father of. David the father of, Matthew the father of, this guy the father of. It's because they didn't have that granddaddy, great-granddaddy, great-granddaddy. Plus, they didn't have Mr. Brown around to sing that was your granddaddy. So they use those words like father just to say. But, yeah, he was definitely the seed of David. And David,
thank you, Pastor. Oh.
David was a man, what, after my own heart. And Jesus, of course, is after his father's own heart.
Oh, I never put that together.
Yeah.
Let me say something. The whole time when y'all was saying who was the good shepherd, I was responding. I see why Pastor O got the credit now because my phone was on mute.
I stole that answer out of his head, then I pushed the button on his phone.
Meditation stuff you're doing. How are you doing that with me, that little transcendental meditation? Leave me alone. You need to push them out of my head. I got to keep. Yeah, I had to ask her. I think that should be getting some points myself, so. My phone was on mute following your order, Sister Johnson. If you're not speaking, have your phone on mute. This time I followed your order.
That's wonderful. So you get 2 gold stars for the mute and for the answer. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so the takeaway for chapter 34, the prophecy is against the shepherds in Judah who failed to care for the people of God's flock. The shepherds are accused of failing to strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the injured, retrieve those who strayed, and search for lost sheep. Instead, the care, wisdom, and compassion that a faithful shepherd should have, these unfaithful shepherds use force and cruelty. This is why they became objects of God's rebuke. Are there any other questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so question number 13 is, what kind of bath has the Lord prepared for Seir and why?
I have chapter 35, verses 6 through 9.
Okay, are there any other answers?
I just had 35:6, so.
And that's what I was looking for, verses 5 and 6. Would you two verses?
5 and 6. Let me see what we got. 5 and 6. You're in count 22. Okay. All right. Y'all want to say that? Do me like that? I'm cool. I was looking at the other side of it.
What other side?
You know, where it answers the question. And then you say, what happens after that? What does 5 come in at?
What does 5 come in? Your eternal hatred for the people?
They weren't asking for that. They just asked them how did it go down.
Well, the question was,
okay,
what
my
kind
bad.
Of
I know
bath
now.
Has the Lord prepared and why? So I think
the
why
is the blood bath.
Well, the why was the eternal hatred that they had for the people of Israel. And that's the author, Eric. She the author, so she, whatever answer she say, go.
Okay. Mother. Can I get some help, Pastor O? And Brother Oliver?
I'm right here.
Like 2 + 2 = 6. Today.
That's how it's coming off today for me.
Oh, God. Thanks, man.
I appreciate y'all helping me with this. I appreciate that. At some point, I will be a scholar.
Thank you, Deacon Eric.
Yes, and I thank you for all the edifying lessons you've been giving us. Continue. I'm going to be quiet.
Okay, would someone like to read verses 5 and 6?
I can do that. You're...
Okay.
Go ahead. No,
go
ladies
ahead.
First. Go ahead, young lady. All right, I'll take
You're...
it then. I'm quiet. Go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, your eternal hatred for the people. And my phone blocked. Okay. For the people of Israel led you to butcher them when they were helpless, when I had already punished them for all their sins. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, since you show no distaste for blood, I will give you a blood bath of your own. Your turn has come. Wait a minute.
Amen.
Your turn has come. I wanted to put that emphasis on that.
Oh, wow.
Your time has come. Turn up time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I say something? We use 5 and 6. That ain't cool.
I
we need 6. And then we need to know why, and then I will make, then you say what happens after, so it's 6, 7, and that, like that way. I don't know how y'all just got 5 and 6.
So I see you want 7 to be on there real bad.
No, I mean, if you, the question, and what's the conclusion of the question? The second, the B part of the question was, what number was it? 13. What kind of bath has the Lord prepared for Seir, Edom, and why?
All right. So explain why verse number 7 explains why that they're getting this bloodbath.
No, but you know what? Hold on. Let me shut up. I see it now. The 5 is right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. You're right. I apologize to you and to you, Ms. Freeman.
Okay.
My bad.
All
I
right.
Want to be right.
Thank you so much
you
for
right.
your participation and comments.
You're welcome.
Question number 14. What character trait of God is shown in verse 35:11? Okay, now here's a typo because it should say traits, plural. But I didn't catch that one.
Well, the only thing.
Let's review. Oh, yeah. Judgment.
So what did you say? What did you say? How do you say the question should be read?
Question number 14 is, what character trait of God is shown in the verse 35:11? Would you read 35:11 so we can think about it?
I sure will. It reads as follows. Therefore, as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I will pay back your angry deeds with my own. I will punish you for all your acts of anger, envy, and hatred. And I will make myself known to Israel by what I do to you. Amen?
Amen.
That's verse 11. Yeah, okay.
Sister Keela said, justice, but I think there are some others. What do you think?
I'm thinking he's doing like he say, revenge is his. It's like he's taking revenge for what they did. That's what I thought.
Right.
So that would be justice, right?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, ma'am. That will fall in that category.
But basically, come on, folks. Now, look at it this way. Even though we're spiritually, you guys still look at it being human, though.
Hold on. And you saying that in what perspective?
I'm saying that in perspective and everything, even though God is just. But as you read in that scripture, in your own mind, in your own judgment, you know God is, we have his traits too, but, you know, it's like we're looking at it at how would you look at it at a human aspect besides spiritual?
Now, in the human aspect, you're going to have a different response, but we talking about God, he do it a little different than how we would do it, a lot different than how we would do it.
Right.
I will punish you for your acts of anger, envy, and hatred. I mean, but that's the same thing we would do. If somebody did something to pay them back, we going to punish them for what they did.
Sure.
We're supposed to be mirroring him, but when my man talking now, he's not like he's mirroring us. Like, this is what I'm going to do. You know, like he's taking out on them the way we would take out on them for doing something. But he had a reason for, you know, because they're not respecting him. So I can understand,
right.
But, yeah, okay,
it's like
yeah, I'll pay back.
Does something that you put that whoop on them. You know, you're punishing them for misbehaving. And that's
right.
Agree. But I see also two other character traits of God in that verse.
Forgiving.
That one verse, 35:11. I see two other traits, too.
Okay, well, you know, I wear glasses, so help me see it.
Okay, I was looking for sovereignty and
okay.
justice and omnipotence, since he's all-powerful.
Okay.
He can make himself known.
Yes, his attributes.
Therefore, as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I will pay back your angry deeds with my own. That was justice. I will punish you for all your acts. Okay, so he has to know what all the acts are. And I will make
okay.
myself known to Israel by what I do to you. So, because
so
he's
all
the supreme ruler and authority over all things.
So his attributes right, come front and center here, right?
Which one?
His all his attributes really show up here, as well as
oh,
some of his moral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, omnipotence, omnipresent, omniscience, immutable, his mutability, and eternal. And as far
mm-hmm.
as moral attributes go, righteousness and justice.
All right.
Good card. Good, yeah. good, 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 good.
There
good.
It is.
The ferret all of that out of one verse is, you know, to see God in his many different aspects in this one verse, that's pretty good. That's good catch. Good detective work. Detective Rebecca.
Oh. Okay, so Pastor O has given away the answer then for question number 15.
Yeah, Jesus did it. Jesus
but I'll read it anyway. What character traits of God is shown in verse 35, 12, and 13?
I'm going to go with what Pastor O said. We're going to leave it right there.
Good choice.
Oh, really? Sounds like a good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, he ripped off one of my answers. Fast change ain't no robbery. Yeah.
Okay, so I will do the
No,
the
I don't really. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No. I want you to conclude what you were saying.
Okay, so takeaways for chapter 35, the announcement of judgment against Edom, Mount Seir. So the chapter is the announcement of the judgment. And the Edomites wanted the land of Judah and Israel and thought that since the Babylonians had taken the Jews out of the land, that it was theirs for the taking. Also, they happily helped Babylon to conquer. And the main cities were Petra and Teman, and they both lie in ruins. So this prophecy is because it has been literally fulfilled. And that concludes our class.
All right.
You were fantastic, Sister Johnson. But Pastor O, hit us with Petra. I remember you bringing that up once, but I can't recall what it was about.
Okay, that comes up under the study of eschatology, the end times. If you
okay.
think about the seven signs of the second coming of Christ, the first sign repatriating Israel back to Egypt, Wednesday, May 14, 1948, they became a state, right? And then you
okay.
talk about the formation of the EU, European Union, right?
Union,
1958,
right.
that's when that took place.
Yeah.
Third sign is twofold. It's the rapture of the church and the appearance of the Antichrist, right? Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And
okay.
then the fourth sign is the creation or launching of a new world religion. This is during the tribulation period. We'll be in heaven at that time, except for the folks who got left behind. They're still on earth. Now, the fifth
okay.
sign is when the temple is rebuilt and the Antichrist walks into it and declares himself God. And so
right.
That is Daniel's prophecy, in, I believe, in 7 through 11, where Daniel says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the temple, Jesus mentions the same thing in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. So that's the fifth sign. Now, it's that sixth sign. After the fifth sign, the Jews will figure out that the Antichrist, who sold them a bill of goods and promised them peace, and they thought that this is the Messiah, well, they'll suddenly come to the realization that he is not. And so they're going to have to flee. Jesus says, when you see that happen, flee to the mountains, flee, go hide. Why? Because the Antichrist is going to make an all-out assault against the Jews. But the Lord is going to protect them, and many scholars believe it's going to be in a place, I believe it's in modern-day Jordan, called Petra. My wife's cousin went there not too long ago, and she sent me pictures from there, and it was beautiful. The awesome thing about Petra is sort of like the 300, the Last Stand and the Thermopylae Pass, or why nobody ever attacks Sweden is because of passes. One person can hold down a whole army because a narrow pass is maybe, especially with Petra, to get into it, it's about, it's not a real wide space, so you can't run a whole army through there all of a sudden. You can only get so many people through at one time, and so it's easy to defend. Because as they come through, you wipe them out. That's what Leonidas did with fighting Xerxes. Even though Xerxes is estimated to have a 2-million-man army, really is about 300,000 plus, you could only put so many men on the front because the pass was narrow. And so the 300 could face down the 300 that was coming at them and take them out. And so that's what Petra is all about. That is where God's going to protect the Jews from the Antichrist onslaught during the second half of the tribulation period when he goes after them. You can read about that in chapter 12 when the devil gets kicked out and then he goes after the Christians and the Jews, those, you know. And that's when the Jews, Romans chapter 11, that remnant that's talked about over there, that's when they'll accept Christ, and then all of us will be one big old giant happy church family, right? But, yeah, that's Petra.
All I remember you mentioned it now when you said about the size of it was a narrow space. Now you say that, I remember it, how you explained it to us now.
Because it'll be easy for them to defend. If this is what the Lord is going to do, it'll be just as easy as when the 300 held off Xerxes. Now, the 300 was really about 7,300. They just mentioned the 300.
Oh, okay.
They don't talk about the 7,000 hoplite soldiers, Greek soldiers that was there with them from a bunch of Greek city states. that's what they call it. They were hoplite soldiers. So they don't get a mention though. We always hear about the 300, but it was really 7,300 of them. Yeah, you know, you had Thespians there, Phocians. Phocians were watching the back road, but you had Athenians and Spartans. You know, they had all come together. They usually fought each other, but they come together to fight against Xerxes, and it was because of the pass at Thermopylae. Because it was narrow and you could only get so many through it, they were able to make that stand that we hear about all the time. You know, they even made a movie about it. But the History Channel did a story on it, did a DVD on it, and you can go to the History Channel and get that. But anyway, yeah, that's Petra.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what Deacon Tate called me, the Google button. He say,
you
ask a question, you're going to get the whole Wikipedia answer.
That's
right?
Awesome.
You ain't kidding. One day I'll be able to do that, hope. But go ahead, Sister Johnson. You can continue. Pastor, you guys are going to do your announcement thing.
Okay, this Friday coming up, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Bring Back the Family. Come on, y'all. Get involved. Get in the conversation. Hey, man, we're talking about, you know, I love what she says, that if we don't help help our youth today, then we're going to be victims of not helping later. You know, we could, because sooner or later they're going to grow up and need clothes. They're going to grow up and need food. They're going to grow up and need shelter. And we, and if we haven't done anything to help them get the money to get that, well, guess what? They're not going to just sit in the alley and starve to death. So we might become victims of them having needs. But if we meet them on the front end, then we don't have to worry about that on the back end, okay? And then Saturday, there's Pastor, that's at 7 o'clock. The same way you got here is the same way you get to bring back the family, okay? Same phone number, same login info. Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching this Saturday. And, of course, I will be preaching Sunday in in-person church service. We're going to, wow, we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You are not going to believe. We've been talking about spiritual immaturity and the things that come from that, the behaviors. If worshiping Peter, Paul, and Apollos and Jesus wasn't bad enough, now there's a boy in the church, and he is sleeping with his mama. So we're going to talk about that Saturday and, Sunday in a fifth installment on the series on the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see if what solutions the Lord give us. I love what Paul does. He raises up the problem, then he offers them a solution. Be careful of people who only raise up the problem. They like Lucy on Charlie Brown. She never had a solution for his problem. Super ambiguous, no solutions, but she always could point out the problem. I remember hearing Dr. Cecil Clark preach a sermon a long time ago called The Lucy Crowd. These are the people who constantly ridicule and hate on people, but they never have a solution or an answer for anything. They just have ridicule, and he called them The Lucy Crowd. Okay, don't forget your Monday homework. Everything's posted everywhere. Questions for the Bible reading class. Questions will be at the church, probably out on the table where Deacon Tate was sitting, or maybe inside the sanctuary where the little round table was. But the questions will be available for both classes at the church on Sunday. And they're online on the website.
Who is the proactive person that has the questions already done for next class?
Keela Freeman.
Wow.
I believe Keela Freeman's up, and she's the proactive person who has already got those questions in, and they are ready to go.
Yeah, my son helped me, so I should have I saw one typo, and I should have looked at it before he hit the button. And I didn't. I let him go ahead and send it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But anyway, the questions are complete.
Tell me what the typo
is. That's awesome.
And just send me the fix for the typo. And before I send it out to everybody, I'll fix the typo.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence tonight as we learned about you. Thank you for a chance to fellowship as we study. We thank you for answered prayers, that my husband is at home recovering and is grateful for all your blessings and protection. We thank you for the work you're already doing in causing him and Nicole Seabrook to be cancer-free. We ask that you cause us to be in service to others and to become or continue to be cheerful givers of our time, talent, and treasure. We ask that you cause each one of us to remember to put on your full armor to fight battles for you. We ask that you give each of us what we need to get the victory against the authorities and powers of this dark world. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say, excellent job, Sister Rebecca.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
Great.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we'll see you guys on Friday, 7 o'clock. Bring back the family. Get involved. All right. See you then.
Bring back the family.
Bring them back.
Yeah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling all my friends asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be
joyful
today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today, today.